Welcome to the Sanctuary Life Podcast, where we take you through a day in the life of animal rescues and sanctuaries across the country. Whether you are an experienced sanctuary staffer, one of the countless volunteers who work so hard at sanctuaries each day, or someone who just loves animals, we hope this journey can give you a behind-the-scenes peek into just what it takes to live the sanctuary life. Now, here's your host, Brandon Feisner, co-founder of Louisville, Kentucky's Butterfly Valley Rescue and Sanctuary.
This week's episode kicks off our first ever Sanctuary Life podcast, Flocktoberfest. This month, we're serving up more episodes to celebrate the spooky season, our favorite time of year. Join us for captivating tales from sanctuaries across the country about how they're celebrating Halloween excitement. Get ready for a month of thrills, chills, and feel-goods, and maybe even a touch of the supernatural. Today, we're kicking off Flocktoberfest with a very special episode of the Sanctuary Life podcast featuring an amazing new resource for animal sanctuaries around the world. We are so excited to head down under and introduce you to Kyle Behrend, co-founder of Around the Barnyard. This amazing new platform is a beacon of support for farmed animal sanctuaries, a passion project helmed by the dynamic duo of Kyle and his wife, Kelly. With an impressive combined experience of working tirelessly in the field of farmed animal sanctuaries, Kelly and Kyle have emerged as champions for the cause. Their mission, to help sanctuaries, the unsung heroes of animal welfare, make an even more profound impact. They believe that with the right tools and resources, sanctuaries can save precious time, alleviate the burden of stress, and laser focus their energies on the compassionate care of rescued animals. Through sanctuary resources, AI tools, and upcoming AI solutions and consulting services, Around the Barnyard is leading the charge to empower these sanctuaries, offering a comprehensive toolkit to drive efficiency, enhance outreach, and ultimately elevate the impact of sanctuaries around the globe. Tune in as we delve into the incredible journey, their vision, and unwavering dedication to farmed animal welfare. Kyle is a seasoned expert in farmed animal sanctuaries with an inspiring story to tell, with more than 12 years of invaluable experience working as operations manager at Edgar's Mission Farm Sanctuary in Lancefield, Victoria, Australia. Kyle brings a wealth of knowledge and insight to the mission. Having witnessed the challenges and triumphs of these sanctuaries up close, Kyle is passionate about facilitating change and improving the lives of farmed animals. His vision, combined with his hands-on experience, drives the development of innovative tools and resources that have the potential to transform the way sanctuaries operate. Kyle's dedication to the cause shines through, making him an inspiring advocate for the welfare of farmed animals and a key driving force behind Around the Barnyard's mission to empower sanctuaries worldwide. Join us as we explore Kyle's remarkable journey and the impact he and his team are making around the world for farmed animal welfare. Kyle, we appreciate you so much for taking the time to join us from halfway around the world, and we're so excited to share more information about Around the Barnyard on this week's episode.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity, Brandon, and I'm stoked to be here. I appreciate this, and hi to all your listeners.
Yeah, so can you tell us and just kind of share the story of how you and also your wife, who is part of this with you, but how you all both became involved in farm animal sanctuaries and what it was that inspired you to start Around the Barnyard?
Yeah, so I grew up in a very much an animal loving family. We were brought up pescatarian. My mother, for welfare reasons, she was vegetarian, and my father for health reasons. And so conversations about animals were always very prevalent, and we were discussing and aware of a lot of the issues that were happening with animals. And I think that definitely had a huge impact on me. I always wanted to do something with animals. I thought it would be just some volunteer work as I grew up, and life took me a very different way and put me, you know, straight into the sanctuary world, where, as you mentioned, I've spent the last 13 years. So I went to university and studied a very different skill set to sanctuary skills. I actually studied finance and double majored in human movement science, which is probably a story for another day. But from there, I moved to London. I was actually born in South Africa, and after university, moved to London, spent a year there, and then found my way in Australia. And it was in Australia doing some volunteer work that I then heard about Edgar's mission. And I was like, wow, I'd never heard about a farm animal sanctuary before. And went up and started volunteering there and was just blown away. I could not believe how incredible the work that was being done. And I just wanted to help and started going up every weekend for volunteer days. And as my different jobs in Melbourne started fading away, I went up more and more and eventually became the first live-in volunteer there. Probably not the first live-in volunteer. I think they had others, but I became a live-in volunteer and then became the first staff member. And yeah, everything just grew from there.
That's awesome. And so we know you've already been from South Africa to London to Australia. So when we decide that we're ready to open the first animal sanctuary in Antarctica, we're going to send you there because you've already touched the rest of the globe.
Well, it's actually funny, yeah. And it's amazing seeing how many more sanctuaries are popping up in different countries now. I remember it must be about 9 years ago now when we moved property locations. I went and did a sanctuary trip through America and Canada to learn from some of the sanctuaries there and see how they'd set up and what the work they were doing. And it was just an incredible experience, just so eye-opening, seeing all these sanctuaries in different locations doing the same thing, just trying to help animals. So I think Antarctica would be possibly a more challenging one than the rest of the world. But yeah, if you're keen to give it a go, so am I.
Yes, and it is amazing. It's how animal welfare is one of those few things that is like a universal language. It kind of doesn't matter where you are in the world. You can find somewhere that is caring for animals and providing sanctuary and doing that. And it may look a little different based on that location and some of the challenges that places present. But essentially, like you said, it's amazing to see all the places all around the world doing like for that same mission.
Yes, 100%. I think, as you said, you know, kindness is just this global value that we all share. And I think particularly with young children, you know, they often highlight, I think, sometimes our movement away from that to, you know, more convenience or inheriting values from our friends and family, whereas children often just hold that purest essence of kindness, especially towards animals. And yeah, it's something that is definitely global.
Yes, and I am excited, and I'll kind of put a spoiler out here because I haven't announced this yet, and we're still working on exactly when this will be, but we are planning. Initially, when we started the Sanctuary Life podcast, it was focused on the U.S. And as things have continued to grow and there's more awareness of sanctuaries around the world, we're going to pick one month coming up in the relative near future to do the Sanctuary Life podcast goes global. And for one month, we're going to try to focus on a lot of sanctuaries around the world and share their stories. So very excited about that.
Yeah, I love that.
So animal sanctuaries obviously hold a special place in your life, not just for the amazing life-saving care provided there every day, but you also happened to meet your wife, Kelly, at Edgar's Mission 6 years ago. Can you tell us a little more about your story and how some of the rescued residents even made an appearance at your wedding?
Well, that was very important, I think. Possibly even more important than me being in the photos. No, so Kelly actually co-founded a farm animal sanctuary in South Australia with her mum about 10 years ago now or so. And Kelly turned vegan after she had her daughter and learned about, you know, some of the practices and welfare issues that happened to farmed animals. And so, Kelly and I actually used to bump into each other at all the different, you know, vegan festivals around the country. So we had met a few times over the years, but yeah, it was definitely when she started working at Edgar's Mission that everything changed for us. And it was just such a beautiful moment. And, you know, I'm incredibly grateful to be able to share my life with someone that shares so many of the common values and kindness and love of animals. And as you mentioned, we had quite a few animals in our photos for our wedding. So we actually have 4 dogs at home and 11 cats. So we have quite a few of our own animals as well. And it was really important that, yes, the animals were in the photos. So obviously spending so much time at the sanctuary and, you know, doing a lot of work with the animals, you develop relationships with them. And they just as important in being part of our story as anyone. So that was really special. And those are definitely some of our favorite photos.
Yes. And we will make sure that when we share this episode, we'll try to tag in at least a couple of those photos so everyone can see them, because they are incredible. And I think it shows, you can definitely see through those photos the kind of the love that you all have, not only for each other, but for the animals, and how that plays such a big part in your all's relationship.
Oh, thank you.
So farmed animal sanctuaries play a crucial role in animal welfare. How have you seen the landscape? Obviously, you have even seen this worldwide, but how have you seen the landscape of sanctuaries change over the years, and what challenges that they often face?
Yeah, this was such an interesting question. I think you know, sanctuaries, as we've said, are just popping up more and more around the world, and I think that's very valuable. I think one of the things that has changed the most for sanctuaries is the shared knowledge of, you know, open sanctuary. So what open sanctuary has done in sharing all of these resources and knowledge, I think, is monumental. I think that has been possibly the biggest change in the sanctuary movement, because we used to even run a little conference for people looking to start their own sanctuaries, and we could only bring through a few people, and it was quite an intense, resource intensive exercise. Whereas towards the after Open Sanctuary started, it was like, wow, we can just direct people there, and it provides them with everything they need to get started and all of the health information for different farmed animals. And something like that was never available. And I think it was really from that, you know, this idea more of shared knowledge, shared information, really kind of became embedded in me in terms of how important that is for sanctuaries. I don't like the idea of us all going and making the same mistakes and, you know, learning, where we could potentially share that knowledge, share that information and grow together, because it is a very, very challenging organization to be in and to run. You know, you said, what are the challenges that they often face? It's like, well, where do you start? I think in every area of the organization is challenges, and that is often compounded by the fact that you're caring for living animals, which always take the priority over everything else. So I know for us, obviously being out in the country, that made a big challenge in terms of getting staff and volunteers. Financial challenges is always there, having to fundraise for often very, very expensive veterinary care, limited time, always running around cleaning, caring for the animals. And as I mentioned, you know, always the animals coming first. So that, I think it makes it probably one of the most challenging environments to be in. And I think, you know, one other aspect that's seldom talked about is the emotional challenge. It just be so exhausting, firstly, the work that we do, but also so emotionally draining, seeing these animals come in the way that they are. You know, not all of them can be rescued. Sadly, having to say goodbye to ones that when their time comes, it's a very, very heartbreaking experience. But hopefully we all just take comfort in the fact that, you know, we did make a difference in their lives, and and able to show them that a kinder world is possible and show other people that that kinder world is possible for them.
Yes, and I love, for the any listeners that are out there that don't know about Open Sanctuary, Open Sanctuary Project is an incredible resource. If you have never looked it up, Google it. I can tag the link in the show notes as well, just so you have easy access to it. But it is an absolutely, and I love that you brought that up, it's an absolutely incredible resource for anyone, whether you are in the infancy of thinking of starting a sanctuary, or whether you're 15, 20 years into running a sanctuary, being part of a sanctuary. There's always something. It seems like every time they post something, I'm kind of like, we've been doing this for a couple of years now, and I have never even thought about that. And so amazing resource.
Yeah, I'm glad you love it as well. I can't say more good things about them. I think, as you say, it caters for everyone. And to have that resource available to a sanctuary that's starting is just monumental. That just provides so much value. And yeah, 15 years in, 20 years in, we still have so much to learn. We're all learning all the time. This is such a unique and, small project that these sanctuaries are, like, small in terms of how many there are around the world still. And so there's still so much that we have to learn. And by sharing that information through Open Sanctuary, we're all able to learn and grow together.
Yes. And the one other thing that I really liked that you talked about there was kind of teaching each other and learning from our mistakes. And that was one thing when we talked to Davey from Cloven Heart a couple weeks back on an episode about their book, and just the kind of the raw, real, unfiltered nature of the book, and saying, hey, here's the mistakes we made. And sometimes an animal is going to die and it's going to be your fault. And it's not anything that you did intentionally, but it's just that being able to share that knowledge and set that expectation of this is what sanctuary life is, and help people prepare for it, especially when they're entering, like just beginning a sanctuary. That is so essential, because if you're going into this completely blind and you have no resources or nothing to kind of set your expectation, I can tell you, I don't know that they make enough medication in the world to keep you sane throughout the process.
Yeah, I think that's sadly a common misconception is, you know, that sanctuaries are just there and it's a lot of patting animals and just cuddling animals, because that's often what's showcased on the social media. And I think that that's beautiful that there's a book out there showing the rawness and the behind the scenes, because there is just so much that goes on behind that people aren't aware of. And that was always one of our biggest recommendations for anyone that wanted to start a sanctuary, was firstly, go and volunteer at another sanctuary, help them out, see what it's like, get a bit of an insight into what goes on, and yeah, then decide from there. But yeah, going in blind can be a very eye-opening experience.
Yes. And so with Around the Barnyard, your mission is to help sanctuaries make a bigger impact. How can using the right tools and resources truly make a difference in the lives of rescued animals and those who care for them?
So I think the right tools and resources are foundational, and I think unfortunately overlooked. And this isn't only in the sanctuary world. I think this is very common in any nonprofit. We're so focused on our mission, which is important, that I think, unfortunately, sometimes the systems that support us are often overlooked. And this could be for many reasons. And I think, you know, often nonprofits or sanctuaries don't have the staff or the time even to go and research all of these different tools and what's available and what they can do, and then learn how to use them. I definitely appreciate the complexity of the issue. But by doing that, I think in the long run, they'll save so much time and really be set up in a way that provides further opportunities for growth. So I think one example is an animal database. And I know there's sanctuaries that, you know, just have paper and pen records of the animals, which is better than nothing. But at the same time, as you scale and as you grow, that can be very, very challenging to manage and find information easily. And so looking into an online animal database is something that can provide so much value later down the track. But obviously in the beginning, that's going to take time and effort and learning a new system and how does that work. But I think the problem is a lot of places don't do that in the beginning. And as they grow and as they get many more animals and as they get even busier than they are at the beginning, then it becomes even harder and harder later down the track to implement good systems. So our hope is to share some of these systems, to be able to highlight, you know, how they can help sanctuaries, because we know sanctuaries want to, you know, spend the most time and need to spend the most time with the animals. That is their core focus, is providing the best lives that they can to the animals in their care. But as we mentioned briefly before in the other question, there's so much that happens behind the scenes that people just do not know about. And I think good systems, and hopefully we'll speak a bit about automations as well, can just streamline this in a way that really provides them more opportunity to do the things that they want to do, as opposed to get sucked into the admin and daily grind of these other tasks.
Yes, and I think a key point there, and something that over the last, with you being in animal sanctuaries for 13 years now, that has grown exponentially even just in that short time, and even more if you stretch that out further, is social media and the amount of time that it takes to just write posts and put things together and keep a consistent message on social media, and the importance of that when it comes to fundraising. And I mean, it is, it could be a full-time position for itself, even at a small sanctuary, for someone to truly run social media in order to maximize the effort and maximize fundraising and maximize everything that comes with that. And that's one of the places that, as we go and talk further on, that Around the Barnyard helps with some of that. But just the importance of, like you said, I bet 50% or more of the time is spent behind the scenes doing things that people don't even realize have to be done, whether that's bookkeeping, social media, whatever that may be.
Yeah, 100%. And as you say, social media is such a large component of this work, and it's become a completely new avenue in sharing these animal stories, in showcasing the work of the sanctuaries, and in hopefully inspiring change in people and their perception of these animals. Because we always mention that, you know, while we could have saved one animal, there's hundreds and thousands, sadly, that, you know, can't be rescued. And so how can we, you know, use that story of that animal to try and help as many more animals out there that aren't able to be rescued? And social media is definitely the most, you know, impactful opportunity for that at the moment. But yeah, who knows? As you say, that this wasn't around 13 years. I mean, it was briefly around, I think, Facebook. We had Facebook, but none of the other social media channels. And as it just keeps growing and changing, yeah, it's definitely a role that is very specific and important for these sanctuaries.
Yes. So Around the Barnyard has a lot of amazing resources for sanctuary staff, including a very specific resources section. Can you tell us a bit more about that sanctuary resources section of the platform, and what kind of like recommendations and systems that sanctuary founders and that could find in that section?
Yeah, so as I said, you know, I think sanctuaries don't have the time or resources to often research all these different tools that are available. And there is there is so many that, you know, there's tools that are coming out or software solutions that come out all the time. And it can be hard to stay on top of which one or research, which one should we be investing in? So we've tried to simplify it a bit and just provide a list of resources with software solutions that sanctuaries can implement to provide a good foundation and starting point. And I find a lot of, not only sanctuaries, but nonprofits in general don't even know that so many of these software solutions are offered at a discount to nonprofits and sometimes even offered for free. So one example is Google Workspaces. So that's Gmail, Google Drive, Google Docs, Google Sheets, etc. If you're a nonprofit organization, you can apply and get that whole suite for free, which saves, I think, around, you know, $8 or $10 per user per month. And that's an incredible tool that, you know, if you don't have anything already, and even if you do, we still at Edgar's, we still used Google Workspaces when I left. It provides so much opportunity in, you know, streamlining your operations. But for sanctuaries in particular, I have like a favorite tech stack, you can call it, like a combo of software tools. And so one is Airtable. And for those that haven't used Airtable, pretty much it's a spreadsheet software solution, but it's a lot more flexible and it has a lot more customizability as well as automations that are built into it. And the beauty about Airtable is that you can actually use a lot of that data and present it in a front-facing interface called Softr. So Softr is another solution that actually takes your data from Airtable, and it can also connect with Google Sheets as well if you're mainly using Google Sheets. And it's a no-code solution, so you don't have to be a developer. It's drag and drop blocks and just connecting to your different tables in Airtable. And it presents information in a really beautiful way. And that was one of the biggest changes we did, was as we had more and more staff working on, in animal care, we really needed a nice interface for them to be able to input animal data, their weights, their health checks, all of that type of information. And the old solution of Salesforce, which is another, I suppose this is where it can get a bit tricky. You know, some solutions are offered for free to sanctuaries and nonprofits like Salesforce, but they can be very, very complicated to set up. And Salesforce, I think, is one of those. And we actually set up our animal database initially on Salesforce, but it's so not user-friendly. It was very, very challenging to use. And so that's when we started shifting it to Airtable with Softr, and it became this beautiful presented app that sanctuary staff could input all of this information in directly. And because we had actually still been using Salesforce as with so much historical data of the animals, we wanted to still send the information there. And that's where the third tool comes in, and that's called make.com. So Airtable, Softr, and Make. And Make is an automation tool, and similar, I'm sure places have heard of Zapier, where you can connect different applications together, and Make does it similarly, but it's a bit more flexible, and they're very, very generous with nonprofits. It's a lot cheaper, and if you sign up, you can actually get 12 months for free with 40,000 automations per month. So it's incredible how much value that they provide for free. Airtable also offers a nonprofit discount. Softr also offers a nonprofit discount. So between those three, you can develop an incredible solution for your sanctuary that's customizable. Because one of the big challenges that we found is that there's no sanctuary software solution. You know, you can't find anything that's been designed for sanctuaries. There's software that's been designed for zoos and aquariums that really just did not suit, and there's software that's been designed for agricultural use, which again simply doesn't suit. And so a lot of the stuff has to be custom made, but the combination of those three provides amazing opportunity and amazing scalability. You know, you can start with a specific area and just continuously grow and grow over time for relatively cheap. I think Airtable is about $10 per user per month, and you don't even have to pay, give every staff or volunteer a user. You can have shared users. And softer, I think that the cheapest plan with the discount is about $35 a month. So you're looking at, you know, under $100 a month for a really, really powerful solution. But as I said, I think, you know, sanctuaries just don't know about this, don't have the time to look into this. So part of sharing these resources is firstly providing the ease of just finding what's available, what's been used before. If anyone, you know, these are the software solutions that we've used, but at the bottom of the page, we also have a form for other sanctuaries to submit software solutions that they use, because I'd love to grow that over time, as we said, this shared knowledge and actually finding what could be the perfect or ultimate, you know, animal sanctuary tech stack. So that's the idea, that it's a one-stop shop that you can come to find all the different tools and resources that can make their lives really easier.
Yes, and I love that you brought up initially like Google Workspace and the value that they can bring, something that is again either free or highly discounted to sanctuaries, and whether you're talking about Google Docs or doing forms or doing websites or doing, you literally, Google provides access to do everything. So that's just one of those resources that are on there that, in addition, like you said, to Airtable and Softer and Make, that I think a lot of sanctuaries aren't aware of the value and the variety of you think of Google and you're like, oh, it's a search engine. And there are so many. I mean, I'm convinced you could spend a week looking at everything that Google offers in Workspace and not even begin to touch everything.
Yes. And we haven't really jumped into the AI stuff yet, but one of the incredible announcements the last week or last couple of weeks from Google is Google has its own AI tool called Bard. So B-A-R-D. And it's now able to connect with your Google Workspace. So there's other AI platforms such as ChatGPT by OpenAI, which is very powerful. But one of the limitations of that is it can't connect with your data. And if you have everything on your Google Workspace, and then have this AI tool that's actually connected to that and able to search through your documents, summarize, check through emails, it creates a whole new world. And this is only just starting now. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens over the next few months, because this technology changes so quickly and years. But I'm actually thinking, you know, as I said, Airtable is a very powerful solution, but with Google Sheets and then actually having an AI powered assistant pretty much that can reference your Google Sheets and search in it, it's going to actually possibly change the landscape even more.
Yes. So in your experience, what are some of the common like pain points or difficult projects and things that sanctuaries encounter just in their daily operations, and how does Around the Barnyard help address some of those challenges?
So I think some of the biggest challenges or biggest pain points are, you know, the admin related tasks. So replying to, you know, lots and lots of emails and fielding calls, and then trying to carve out time to research, you know, these different technologies or systems and learn how they can be implemented into their organization. Very, very limited, you know, staff and volunteers potentially compounds that. So Around the Barnyard, we hope to, you know, do some of this information, do some of this research for them, and then see how we can actually use AI as a tool to complement the work that they're doing and assist them. So One thing I just start off by saying before we kind of jump into more of the AI stuff is there's a philosophy that is accepted, I think, in some parts of the AI community, and it's called, you know, keeping the human in the loop. And I think it's a very important philosophy to think about and to take into consideration, because there is a lot of talk about AI replacing people and jobs, and it is a very scary time for a lot of people. But AI can be a tool that's used while keeping a person in their job to expand their skills, to reduce their time that they, you know, doing admin related tasks, etc., and actually then provide them with time to do other things that's either more interesting to them or more impactful. And so with the AI tools that we're developing, everything is created as a draft. We create content using AI that's personalized based on the sanctuary and their mission, vision, and communication style guide, but still providing it in a way that the user then gets it as a draft to tweak, to make any changes, and then to use in the way that they see fit. So we hope to, you know, kind of get them 80, 90% of the way there, almost like having a paid assistant, but a lot quicker and a lot cheaper.
Yes. And so the AI tools are such an exciting part of your offering. And I'll be the first to say I was so blind when I first saw you offering beta testing, which we'll get to in a moment. I was like, AI, what is all this? What is going on in the world? Like, I don't know about AI. And some of those tools are just so exciting. So can you explain to our listeners how those tools leverage, like you said, the sanctuary's mission, vision, and values to create custom content that is very specific to that sanctuary? And what benefit does that bring?
So I think, you know, when anyone mentions AI, I think most people automatically think of ChatGPT because of how popular it's become and how that was almost, as people say, like the iPhone moment, you know, when the ChatGPT announcement came out, I think it was earlier this year or late last year, and kind of showcased what could be done with this technology. Everyone really started paying attention because AI has been worked on and used for many, many years before this. It's just that they had such a breakthrough in allowing this technology to become so much more powerful and accessible by the general public that everyone's now paying attention. And so if you've used ChatGPT, which I hope you have to the listeners, because it is an incredible tool, and as I said, like pretty much a free assistant to have. You know, the best example I can give is where imagine you're on ChatGPT and you ask it to write out a fundraising email for you. It'll prepare a fundraising email for you, which, you know, I'm sure will have some very, very good components to it. But you're going to have to then take that and, you know, tweak it to your style, your communication style. You're going to have to input all of your information, you know, your sanctuary name, your sanctuary vision. You're going to have to change the values and what you're fundraising for. So you can get a lot better output by providing more context in the input. So if you were to rather prompt and say, you know, I'm from Edgar's Mission Sanctuary. Our mission is to, you know, provide sanctuary and care to over 400 rescued animals to make a kinder world. And this is our vision. And here's an example of our communication style guide. And we need to run a fundraiser to raise $10,000 because we've just rescued 5 pigs and we need a new shelter for them. And you provide that content and then run an output on that. The quality and the of what you're going to get back is going to be exponentially greater. But it takes a lot of time. You know, it takes a lot of time to draft out a well-structured prompt, to format it in the right way. I mean, there's a whole learnings called prompt engineering now where people are just spending, you know, all of their time learning exactly what is the best way to prompt these large language models. So ChatGPT is what's known as a large language model, to get the best output, because you have to realize that they just, these LLM, these large language models, just have exponential amount of knowledge. And so really what we are doing with a prompt is trying to refine it and define it to be as, use its information and use its knowledge, but direct it in a way that's optimized and succinct to what we want out of it. So the idea with around the barnyard was to create a profile that the sanctuaries can actually save all of this information. And then when they're using the AI content tool generations, it automatically gets injected into these prompts in without them even needing to know about it. So when you sign up to Around the Barnyard, you go through a little onboarding process where you need to input your mission, your vision, your values, you know, an example blog post, an example fundraising email, because all of this provides context for these LLMs to provide the output in the best way. And we just wanted to make it as easy as possible. You know, I've spent possibly far too much time in courses and researching and studying and testing and learning about prompting and what is the best way to do it. And if I can just provide that in a simple interface that users just need to say exactly what they want in an easy input and have it all automatically done on the back end, that was our goal, to just make it really as easy and as accessible as possible. Because again, you know, to take the time and research and experiment and learn how to do proper prompting, while I think it's a very important skill and something that, you know, people should do, I recognize that, especially in the sanctuary world, that that's very challenging. So I'm trying to try and, you know, take that all together, pop it in an easy interface that still provides this value to sanctuaries, but just in a really simple and easy way.
Yes, and I want to say, the having done beta testing of the system, which we'll talk about momentarily, that the prompting and everything there and that initial part of the process and filling everything out, it really is an interesting, like, you're like, how do I make sure that I put this in a way that is going to go across? And it's amazing how going back and just changing a couple words here or a couple words there can totally change the output even. And so it's incredibly powerful. And like you said, it even asks, like it says, offer a place in your communication style guide. And it did that. And I'm like, I have no clue what my communication style guide is. And I was like, oh wait, there's another tool that will tell me what my communication style guide is. And it told me that. And I ran that tool and I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. That's exactly how I want to communicate. So once this is available, I mean, I know we're going to cover a few more of those tools here momentarily, but it's literally the sky is the limit. And it's amazing what it will output and tell you based on, again, the more you give it, the more it will give you. It's not something that you go in and put three words in and expect it to know what your sanctuary is. The more effort you put into it on the front end, the much easier I think it is on the back end.
Yes, completely. And I love that you love the communication style guide, because that was one of the that's actually a bit of a trickier one to create, but it's super important, because with these AI tools, you know, we want it to come out in a way that sounds like the organization. Like, it's not going to be useful if it comes out and you have to rewrite the whole thing in a way to make it sound like you wrote it. And as I said before, you know, it's important that this is seen as a draft and something that can be edited and tweaked, but, you know, hopefully is like an assistant that's very well knowledgeable, you know, can just implement it in a way that supports these organizations. And yeah, I love the communication style guide. I've had some amazing feedback about how difficult even that task is to do yourselves. And I think this is another area that AI kind of showcases is, you know, we are all different people. We all do have different skills and different capacities in what we can do. And this is an amazing opportunity to leverage AI to fill in those gaps. I mean, I'm not a communication style guide expert. I actually learned these prompts through other people and refined it to allow it to create this communication style guide that would be useful to, you know, re-inject into future prompts. But again, just that is something that would normally cost organizations a lot of money and a lot of time to go through the process of getting that. And it might not be 100% right, but if it presents something that's 80% there with a few tweaks, can be saved and provide, you know, future value, I think that's where I'm really excited about, you know, how can these tools be leveraged to fill in those gaps, to provide more opportunity to organizations, especially as they scale. I know, you know, for a long time, we didn't have at Edgar's Mission a communication a style guide for the different fonts that we used. And when you're working with volunteers a lot in particular, it can be really helpful to provide all of this information so they know what they need to work with. And it's the same as the AI, you know, they need to know what you want out of it to be able to provide that. And so the communication style guide is a very important component of that. I appreciate that you love it and how important it is and how it's, yeah, like a tool that, you know, showcases the potential of these AI systems as well, not only as just content generation, but to complement and provide other value in areas that, you know, we're all people. We don't all have these different skills, but we can leverage AI to do things like that. Like, I'm not a communication style guide expert, but we can use AI to create this profile that we can then reuse, which is so beneficial for future prompting. But in a way that, you know, is very, very quick and cheap.
Yes. And I think one of the biggest benefits there, and I know you touched on that, was that sometimes, especially in smaller organizations, where you don't have like a communications person, or you have multiple individuals that maybe are managing social media accounts and different things around the barnyard, using that communication style guide allows you to present a consistent style that sounds like it's coming from the same organization all the time, regardless of whether it is this person making the post or this person making the post or this part, like no matter who it is, if you're using those AI tools, it allows it to come across as a consistent message from the organization based on that communication style guide versus maybe being two or three different individuals that may have totally differing styles.
Yeah, 100%.
So I know that you all recently did beta testing with a select number of sanctuaries around the world, testing the system. Fortunately, we were able to be a part of that. And I just wanted to see if you could kind of tell us how that beta testing went, what some of the feedback was that you got about the system just during that initial testing there.
The beta testing was really exciting. The feedback that I've got so far has just been amazing, really. It's everything that I hoped around the barnyard would do. You know, the recurring themes that keep coming back is that it saves sanctuaries time, that, you know, it's freeing them up to spend more time with the animals, that they're often exhausted at the end of the day and trying to, you know, come up with some social media posts, and this just makes their lives so much easier. That it's providing opportunity to do things that they wouldn't have the time to do otherwise. We have a policy creation tool there. So, you know, we while it is focused mainly on content creation at the moment, we're trying to look at, you know, where is the areas that provides value. And I know processes and procedures is something that takes a huge amount of time to create and provides a lot of value, but, you know, it can be really resource intensive to do. And again, if we can create a tool that provides 80, 90% of the way there, at least it's something that can be rolled out a lot quicker and implemented with. I think the hardest thing with the the feedback, the beta testing is honestly, I'm trying to get more negative feedback to make improvements and changes. And I mean, thankfully, I suppose in a way, everything's just been so positive, but I'm like, I need to know what's wrong so I can fix it. But I think, as you said, it is just this technology is incredible. And when you first use it, you get blown away. It's kind of like magic. You're like, wow, like how can it do all of this? I think with more time, I'll hopefully get a bit more feedback about things that can be improved or changed. The current feedback more so is about more tools that would be like to be added. So I think the next one that I'm working on is the animal profile and getting a bit of input from organizations about what type of inputs they would put in when they're creating their animal profile and how they would like it structured. So I think that's going to be an exciting upcoming tool.
Yes, and I will tell you, it's interesting. As I started using the tool, I go back to, I had zero AI experience before this. Didn't even know. I mean, I was thinking like, are these like robots making your food at the fast food restaurant? Like, what is this AI stuff? And so when I first started using it, and then I saw like some of the other resources that you talked about, like ChatGPT and that. And it's interesting to, there were times where I would take like the same, just to see the difference, I would take like the same prompt basically and put it in around the barnyard and put it in ChatGPT and see the differences in what the output is. And it is very, the thing I do love about this is it gives you such a specific response that is directly tailored to your organization and to the information that you have placed in that. And that is amazing to see and to have such quick access. And again, like you said, with the prompting and everything on the front end, I think if you gave ChatGPT or another LLM that much information, yes, it may put out just as good of a response, but you would spend 2 to 3 times as much time giving it that information.
Yeah.
To where it's already stored in around the barnyard. So that's been like the coolest thing for me is, like you said, you literally can go in and put, let's celebrate, you're going to tell it to write you an Instagram post and let's celebrate our duck Quack's birthday, and it will pull from all your other information and just write you an amazing post that is so tailored to your sanctuary. And again, it's easy. I can say it was hard to, when I was going through it, I'm like, what is, like, it's hard to find anything wrong, because it's when you've never used that software and stuff, it is mind blowing that it exists. That, yeah. I'm like, there's days where I've spent the whole day writing and rewriting and writing and rewriting these posts, when at least I could have had a good starting point with AI. And it's been an amazing experience to use. So I'm so excited to see where it continues to go. The next step, obviously, for you all is to go from just a kind of a select group of sanctuaries around the world testing it to you all are getting ready to open or have just opened public beta testing of around the barnyard. Can you give us more details on exactly when that either has begun or will begin, and then what sanctuaries can expect when they join the community if they have not, like if this is a new sanctuary that was not part of the original beta testing?
Yeah, for sure. So I think just quickly jumping back to one of your previous points, which was appreciated, how it helps, you know, change your content as well. One of the tools is an editor, and I think that's, you know, it can be an underutilized tool where you do, you know, create a draft or you have something that you'd like edited. I mean, we used to use copywriters all the time to, you know, check and review and edit our copy. But, you know, you have a tool there that's accessible 24/7 that, you know, again, is trained in your style, that can then edit your content. So you can, you know, draft up different material and present it to this editor and have it edited in different ways, present it into an email, change it into social media posts, make it more formal, make it more casual, all types of things. So the idea is as well, you can, you know, work on one type of communication. So it's an announcement, about your duck. I love that. And, you know, have it output different formats to be used in different ways. So an Instagram post, a Facebook post, an email, internal communication post, all types of things like that becomes very, very powerful. The future. So it is very exciting, as you mentioned. We're looking to go open to public beta tomorrow, which is the 3rd of October. So we're going to make it live, accessible to everyone. And the hope and the goal is really to keep these AI content creation tools available for free for sanctuaries. I think it just provides so much value. And depending on usage, which is how it goes, but as I said, the goal is to keep that free. And, you know, longer term, we're going to roll out more tools. We'd like to expand the resources section and also actually explore more ways that AI can assist, because this is really just the tip, I suppose, of what AI can do. We've got so many more ideas about how it can be implemented into automations and then really, you know, have more personal problem solving for organizations that could hopefully be, you know, packaged as a bit of a solution and provided to other organizations.
So, Kyle, I've got the next idea. We need AI hoof trimming. As soon as you figure that one out, you've got the whole world beat.
Hoof trimming is so that. Well, you know what I mean, what's coming, which is really interesting, which, you know, this isn't going to be too far away. What's happening with ChatGPT is they're rolling out a function which is called becoming multimodal, and what that means is you can upload photos, or eventually you'll be able to upload videos and then prompt ChatGPT based on what you've uploaded. And the example that they showed on their announcement was uploading a photo of a bicycle and asking, you know, how do I lower the seat? And it was incredible. Like, it's scary how well it provided instructions about the different tools that's used and the way to lower the seat based on the photo that it got. And I think this will, you know, roll out into other areas. And I'd imagine the time will come where you literally can take a photo of a hoof and ask, you know, what should be done, what areas should be trimmed, and it can actually, you know, help guide you and provide feedback on that. So while it may not be able to do the job until we have robots, I think it will be able to provide more information and knowledge. And I hope that that's another area that we can look into more, is, you know, how can we provide tailored or trained knowledge for sanctuaries through a chatbot type experience that's more detailed and more personalized than just something like ChatGPT.
Yes. So can you give us just a glimpse into the future of what kind of your upcoming system and AI solutions are for Around the Barnyard? And then how do you envision those solutions taking sanctuary support to that next level?
My focus, like, I love these content creation tools, but as I said, I'm trying to see how we can embed AI into the work that sanctuaries are already doing in other ways. And so I suppose a couple of examples that I'm working on is, one is chatbots. So chatbots can be built in many, many ways. I kind of pick a bit of an easier way using platforms that already exist, but they foundationally they work in the same way, where you can upload content and train that chatbot on your content and then engage with it in a similar way to ChatGPT, but it's a lot more personalized. And the chatbots can have multiple benefits. I think we talk about front facing and which can be, you know, more user based, where it could be embedded onto a website. It can provide information about the organization, how to donate, how to come and visit, information about the animals. So this is all trained based on their website information. And at the same time, that can be used in the back end. So, you know, how can this help staff and volunteers? Now, if we were to train it with processes and procedures, it can be used to assist staff and volunteers doing the jobs that they already do by providing information. If they get stuck, they can ask this chatbot before asking, you know, someone else and seeing if they can provide the answers there. It can similarly be used to provide, you know, create content like the procedures or social media content. And I then am looking at another solution where I'm taking that and building it into another automation, which actually filters emails. So I know at Edgar's, we had, you know, hundreds of emails that constantly come in. We set up a really beautiful FAQ on the website. And I think we even had a checkbox that said, please make sure you've read the FAQ before sending this email. And I've spoken to quite a few organizations about this. And I think it's just something that's never going to change. You know, people are always just going to default to sending it off an email. And it can be really hard managing all these emails. And, you know, we want to make sure that we give our supporters the best experience and information back. But how can we automate this? So one system that I'm working on is where if they're using, they need to be using Google or Microsoft, but the email will actually be filtered based on different criteria. So it'll actually, AI will scan this email and try and pick up what type of criteria it is. So one example is, are they emailing because they want to unsubscribe from your newsletter? And you can have an automation chain that runs from that once it's been picked up, and you can connect it to your email software, actually unsubscribe the person and then draft a reply email, you know, saying, you know, we're sorry to hear you go. We'd love that you still continue following us on social media. Here's our links, etc. And it sits as a draft within the email that someone can, as I said before, keep the human in the loop. Someone can check, make sure that it's okay, tweak any way that needs to be, and then send it off. And you can have a few criteria. You could have, you know, ones for donations, maybe get forwarded off to a particular person in the organization. And then you can have one that captures everything else. And that would be utilizing a trained chatbot that has trained on your information on your website, or even sample email replies if you've got, which is even better. And similarly, drafts an email response that sits within your inbox, ready to review, ready to tweak, and then ready to send off. So that's one that I'm focused on at the moment. I think will provide a lot of value, especially if you get a lot of emails. Just as I said, you know, kind of like having an assistant that does 80, 90% of the work for you. And then you can just make a couple tweaks and send it off.
Yes, and those are absolutely amazing tools that, like you said, I think they help with tasks that so many individuals, when you think of sanctuary life, when you're on the outside looking in, those are not the tasks that you think of. You think of being out spending time, and when you're looking on social media, you're like, oh, they're always, like you said, cuddling animals and caring for animals, and yeah. Everybody's like, their life must be so great, and I'm like, well, I mean, it is great, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of times that you're not with the animals at all.
Yes.
So just amazing tools, and so excited to see where the future holds for all of them. And so what, finally, like, what's the ultimate impact that you hope to achieve with Around the Barnyard by empowering farmed animal sanctuaries with these tools, resources, and community?
We really just want to help. I mean, I think, you know, sanctuaries, as you know, we know sanctuaries hold a huge part in our hearts. I think the work they do is incredible. The stories that they tell change people's perception of these animals and their relationships with them. And we know how challenging it can be. So we just want to provide information and resources and tools that can just help them, you know, that can give them more time literally with the animals. I think that is where the value comes from, having these organizations spend more time with their animals and less time focusing on admin and these type of tasks. So, you know, how can we leverage AI? How can we leverage good systems and automations to develop a strong foundation that supports these organizations to grow and do more of the impactful work that they want to do? I think, you know, that's another great part of this AI, which has been mentioned a lot, is it frees people up. There's a consultant that I've done a course with, and he said when he went into an organization, they identified the tasks that people hate doing. And then they look, can AI help with them do that? And I thought that was really great, because it's not about replacing everything. But yeah, imagine you can replace so many of the jobs that you hate doing, and that when you're spending time doing something, it's something that you want to do. And maybe AI content creation is not something for you. I don't think this is for everyone. You know, people love writing. And if you can free up your time that you have more energy, more passion to write, that's even better. But, you know, see in your everyday life, like, what are the things that you hate? What are the things that you are just recurringly doing? And research, you know, is there a solution, or is there a tool that can assist me in helping reduce the amount of work that I do there, so that I can, you know, do the work on what I want to do, spend more time with the animals, share their stories more, and help more animals in the end. So ultimately, that's what we want to do. We just want to help sanctuaries help more animals.
Yes, and speaking of sanctuaries and sanctuary life, you obviously spent quite a bit of time directly involved in the sanctuary world. So kind of before we ended, we had to ask you if there were any stories of rescued residents from your time at Edgar's Mission that kind of made a significant impact on your life, and see if you want to tell us a little bit more about one or two of those stories.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, oh wow, there's so many. You see, as you would know, you see so many incredible animals come through, and we have so much that we can learn from them. There's always one that holds a very special place, and her name was Hip Hop, and she was a little piglet that was actually born on the sanctuary. Her mother and her mother's sister were rescued. They were actually a group, I think, of 7 or 8 pigs that were found running around the streets of Hobart, which is in Tasmania. And they were rescued by a sanctuary down there, and they realized that seven of these pigs were pregnant, and did the maths, and, you know, potentially going to be landing up with something like 80 pigs in the end, which was a lot more than they could accommodate. So they arranged to rehome some of them. So Pam flew down and came back with these 2 pigs, Emma and Eliza, who gave birth to, I think it was 8 little piglets each, and Hip Hop was one of them. And she was just an incredible pig. I you know, we at the sanctuary, we have some of our pigs that have learned to sit down, and they get a treat. And one of the interesting things about that is that the pigs often learn from each other. You know, they don't have to be taught to sit. They can actually watch and observe another pig sit and get a treat. And they can be like, oh, well, if I sit, then I get a treat. And they can put that all together and actually piece it together and often become better, you know, trained, as I say, in inverted columns, commas, pigs than the ones that are specifically taught. Anyway, we also did a lot of outreach work back then and took some of these pigs out, and Hip Hop used to come out, and we actually used to get into these kind of competitions with the dog trainers about whose animal was smarter and whose animal could do, you know, the different tricks. And Hip Hop eventually learned to sit and shake and wave and drop and roll out a carpet and roll back a carpet and fetch a stick and hold her own lead while she was walking. And I never forget, I was trying to teach her how to kneel, how to like drop. And it I couldn't figure it out. She wasn't doing it. And I was like, it doesn't really matter. Like, I'm not, you know, this isn't something that we have to do. If she doesn't want to do it, so be it. And so just ignored it and just carried on. And the one day she started lifting my snout with her foot. And I was like, what are you doing, hip hop? And she'd like lift my snout and lift my foot with her snout. And as she'd lift my foot, she would then bow. She would bow on one leg. And I was like, what are you doing? And she would kept doing it. And so then I gave her a treat. And then I would like lift my foot up and she would take a bow. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the most incredible thing. And so all I did was then just changed where I'd just tap her shoulder at the same time as her doing the little bow. And over time, it just became that I could tap her shoulder and she would take this bow. And I was like, you know, we think that we teach them, but really they teach us. And she was just such an incredible animal. We used to take walks around the sanctuary. She used to come into the different animal paddocks. We used to go and visit the sheep and some cows, and the alpacas were very interested in seeing who she was. And it was just such a beautiful friendship and relationship, and something that many people share with their cats and dogs that live in their homes, but you know, don't know can happen with farmed animals. And that pig, yeah, she really changed my life.
Yes, and look, I mean, it's a lesson. The pigs, it's just like AI. You were just using the wrong prompts with hip hop. It all comes full circle.
I don't think you could have ended the podcast any better than that.
It all comes full circle. If our listeners want to learn more information about Around the Barnyard or participate in the public beta testing, where can they do so, or where can they find more information?
Yeah, so aroundthebarnyard.co, not .com, so .co, and Facebook and Instagram. So once we launch, Kelly will be posting more on the Facebook and Instagram. So if you follow us there, we'll be sharing all the updates that we roll out through that as well.
Perfect. And we will make sure to share links to that on the show notes. Kyle, we want to thank you for taking the time to join us. We feel honored to help you promote your mission to help sanctuaries, the unsung heroes of animal welfare, make a more profound impact. We thank you for all you're doing. I know personally, I'm very excited about seeing the future of this, very excited about what it's already kind of helped us accomplish and some of the time saving and everything it's done. So we just appreciate everything you're doing. I think the sky is the limit for Around the Barnyard. And can't wait to hopefully talk to you again in the future about what's next.
No, thank you. And thank you so much for this chat. This has been great. And I'm so glad that it's helped you. And yeah, hopefully it helps more sanctuaries. So thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Sanctuary Life Podcast, presented by Butterfly Valley Rescue and Sanctuary. To find out more about our podcast and how you can be a part of it, visit our webpage at butterflyvalleyrescue.com/podcast, or join us on social media at Sanctuary Life Podcast. If you enjoyed this week's episode, please remember to download the episode and recommend us to family and friends. See you next time.